Welcome to the jungle. I'm live. I'm in Southern California in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. As you know, we are in the middle of the interview portion of the program. In the meantime, I can set you up very quickly with your telephone number. I have time for calls on the back end, 1-800-636-8686. But top priority for the top of hour number two is this, a conversation with the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. 13th season as Mavs head coach. He was an NBA champion as both a player and a coach. The NBA Coach of the Year in 2002. More than 800 career wins. That is third among active coaches. Dallas is in first in the Southwest. They're at Houston tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Rick Carlisle. Rick, it is always good to have you on the show. Good to have you back, too. Rick, how are you?
Jim, I'm well. Good to be back in the jungle.
Good to have you, too, Rick. I hope that that phone connection's good. That sounded a little bit jarbled. But let's get into it. So you're coming off a 111-103 win over Utah last night. I want to get to Luka's performance in a moment, but you held the Jazz to their lowest point total in nearly 2 months. What was your approach on defense, and then how pleased were you with the results?
Well, we were pleased with the results. We played a series with them back in January, where we played two games in 3 days out in Utah, and that did not go well. We had three guys who were returning from COVID protocols, and having your first game after 2.5 or 3 weeks at 4,300 feet above sea level, against the best team in the league is not ideal. And they smacked us pretty good in both games. But we've done some good things since. We've gotten better as a team. We've gotten better defensively. We felt going into last night we needed to be much more physical than we were in the two games in January. We were able to do that. We had some good fortune. They didn't make every shot, but I think some of that was how hard we were playing and how together we were playing. And it was a great win for us.
Rick Carlisle joining us. Rick, to that point, you dropped those two games that you mentioned back in January to Utah. Part of that was a tough run at the end of January as the team dealt with injuries and COVID both. I mean, the kind of run or stretch that might even destroy a team and even a season. But starting February 3rd, you've gone 20-8 since then. What's that tell you about this particular group that they never did give in?
Yeah, before the season started, we looked at the schedule and 13 of 19 on the road to start. Those 13 on the road were heavy with, championship caliber opponents. And we knew that the schedule would test us in ways that we probably couldn't imagine, with this type of situation and a shortened off season and everything else. And it was rough. And then we actually hit a COVID patch, as I mentioned, and that made it even rougher. We had a six-game losing streak at one point, but it's a resilient group. It's a group of great guys, led by Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, and they hung in. They believed in the importance of defense and continuing to work at being a better defensive team, and we've done some very good things defensively over those last 3-4 weeks, which has really helped give us an opportunity to go on a run here.
Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle, my guest. And as you mentioned, Luka, who had another monster night, 31 points, 9 boards, 8 assists. I mean, incredible numbers, and yet it's pretty much just an average offensive output for him, which is insane for a 22-year-old who's only played 177 career games. Like, at this point, Rick, how would you describe what it is about Luka that makes him so special? Is it physical talent, or is it something else that separates him?
Well, he's got the physical ability, Jim. He's a very underrated athlete. He is big. He is very, very strong. He is super quick, and he is fast. Being 6'7", 6'7", and a half, and having a big frame and having that kind of strength, it doesn't usually equate to the words quick and fast. But he's quick, fast, powerful. He has the ability to accelerate and decelerate very quickly. That's why he's so great on the step back shots. He can go forward and pull it back and stop and still maintain his balance. And he's shooting those better than ever this year. But he also just has kind of that sixth sense about things that are going to happen and seeing them before they happen. you know, much like Magic Johnson did, much like Larry Bird did, you know, LeBron James has that kind of ability or kind of sixth sense. Jason Kidd had it. And so, you know, the game, you know, his bandwidth for understanding the game and seeing things as they are happening and as they will happen is very, very unique.
This guy's special. That's high praise, and deservedly so. We're talking to Rick Carlisle. So, Rick, as I mentioned off the top, I'm really curious about this. It's your 13th season with the Mavericks, which is an absolute eternity in the NBA. It's a testament to how good of a coach you are. But at the same time, being a head coach in the NBA can be a real grind. So how have you managed to stay fresh and motivated year in and year out? What's that process like?
Well, you know, I love the job. I love the challenge. You know, I've been fortunate to have great ownership in all three places I've been, Detroit, Indiana, and here in Dallas with Mark Cuban. You know, we've had terrific players. I was privileged to work with Dirk Nowitzki for the last 11 years of his career. Jason Kidd for, you know, 3 or 4 years before he moved on and played with New York. You know, we won a championship with that group. Jason Terry's a great player. You know, Sean Marion, Tyson Chandler. I mean, you've got to have great players in the fold to last as long as I've lasted here. And then, you know, we went through a tough rebuild for 3 years. But, you know, the result was that we were able to draft Luka. We were able to trade for Kristaps Porzingis, Tim Hardaway. And this kind of gave us, you know, a new beginning. And, you know, from that point on, you know, we've gone through some of the challenges of a young team, but I've got a great staff. We've got young players here that want to get better, that want to win. You know, I enjoy the challenge of kind of, you know, moving from one era of the NBA to the next. You know, the players are growing up in a different world now with social media and a lot of those external forces and factors, and it's been fascinating to learn what that's all about. My 16 and three quarter year old daughters help me, you know, understand a lot of that stuff. And look, every day I come in knowing that there is much, much more to learn, and that really gets me going.
I like that. Rick Carlisle is joining us. And then, Rick, last summer, Bill Walton did an interview with The Athletic. He was talking about how much he admires you, how proud he is of you. I've got to ask, what was he like, the big man, as a teammate back in the day?
Well, wow. How long do we have?
As much time as you need, Coach.
Would say, how
as much
long
time as you need.
You know, I met Bill in the fall of 1985, and you know, it changed my life in so many ways. 2 years later, I called Bill on the phone. It was the fall of 87. I had a girl that I was dating named Donna, and she was going to grad school in D.C. And I called Bill and I said, Bill, listen, I'm in D.C. I've got this new girl that I'm dating that I really like. The Grateful Dead are here playing at the Capitol Center tonight. Is there any way possible, you know, I could get in there to see the show? He goes, hey, listen, just go to the back door, ask for Dennis McAnally, tell him you played with the Boston Celtics, and everything will be just fine.
Wow.
And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, we had a phenomenal time at the show. We had two laminate passes. One was a Bill Walton pass that I had, and then they gave Donna, Bill's wife, Susie Walton, his wife at the time, I should say. And so we were walking around in the back, and during the intermission, we walked in a room, and we're sitting with Jerry Garcia, Bob Weir, and Mickey Hart, you know, three of the mainstays from the Den, and had a casual conversation with them. And needless to say, the date was successful, and we ended up getting married. And so, you know, we're 20 years of marriage, and that night, and that gesture by my great friend Bill Walton was very much appreciated.
What an amazing story. Now, was there not somebody also involved named Ramrod? Who's Ramrod?
Well, Ramrod became a great friend as well. He was one of the stage guys, and his name was Ramon Rodriguez, and, you know, hence the nickname Ramrod, and he became a very close friend. he passed away several years ago. Very sad, but Ramrod was the guy that night that took care of us. And you know, when you experience something like that, where you're standing on stage watching the show and then mingling with Jerry Garcia and Bob Weir, you know, at halftime, you know, you make some special friends in a hurry. And so, but none of it would have happened had I not had the great fortune to meet the great Bill Walton.
Such a great story. Rick Carlisle, my guest. Rick, one last thought, if you don't mind. For instance, you talked about the players you've had. You've talked about your great staff. Let me ask you about Hubert Davis, because he was with you. He played for you in Detroit, and you were one of the guys that he mentioned as coaches that he learned the most from. He was just named head coach at North Carolina. What do you remember about him as a player, and then how do you think he'll fare as a head coach?
He'll be great, Jim. He's got an amazing personality. He's got a magnetism with the way he relates to people. I had him for a very short time in Detroit. You know, we were short on point guards, and we actually converted him to a part-time point guard. He was a great shooter, a great guy coming off screens and stuff, but he was able to adapt to that position. And I think that's probably what he was talking about. But, you know, I was hoping that he would be a guy that would emerge as the candidate for that job. And it was phenomenal to hear. And I know that anybody that knows Hubert Davis, and so many people know him, you know, he's been in the game for, you know, 3+ decades now. Extremely happy for him, and he'll do an amazing job at North Carolina.
And then, Rick, finally, like, for instance, you're right, his personality is absolutely amazing, but when you have move over just one chair or even two chairs, we know how far that move actually really is. What do you remember about being a head coach for the first time and the sort of transition you had to make?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's no way to really 100% prepare for it. You've got to move over. You've got to sit there. You've got to, you know, you've got to deal with all these different forces that are coming at you all the time. And, you know, it's just, it's hard to explain. You know, people watch a game on television, but when you sit in that seat, you know, you have individual relationships with each player. You have to manage minutes, which is, you know, takes great communication. You have to manage a coaching staff so that your messaging is consistent from top to bottom. You deal with the press every single day, so your PR director is coming at you with media requests. Every day there are questions that come up, you know, win or lose about the team, and how are you dealing with this? How's this guy dealing with that? And you want to keep messaging consistent there. And if you're in the NBA, you know, you've got a relationship with your owner. And you know, I've been very fortunate in all three places that I've been. But Dallas has been extra special because of my relationship that I developed over the past 13 years with Mark Cuban. You know, it's based on respect, trust, and a high level of communication. But, you know, the short answer to your question is it's an 18-inch move to the left or the right, depending on where your bench is circulated. That is absolutely different in every way, but it tests your capacities to communicate and work with everybody at every level of an organization or a college program. You know, instead of an owner, you know, with University of North Carolina, you know, Hubert will be dealing closely with his athletic director. And the dynamics, while different, you know, are going to be quite similar.
He is the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. 13 years as a head coach there, and once again an NBA champ as a player and a coach. Dallas is in first in the Southwest, and they're at Houston tomorrow night. Rick, let me reset. I appreciate this relationship that we have. Like, to your point about dealing with the media, I want to say for the record, not every NBA coach is going to come on shows ever, and you've always made it a priority to come on this show, and I want to thank you for that and tell you how much I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Rick.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Be well.
You be well. Rick Carlisle, sincerely, like, he's always done the show, and not only always done the show, but has always shown up like that on this show, whereas I want to say a majority of NBA coaches just don't do that sort of thing because they don't need to. And Rick Carlisle has always made himself available, and I appreciate him and the Mavs for that. All right, so we're open right now until the end of hour number three, actually. So take advantage of it. 1-800-636-8686. Like, people are calling, but I'm waiting for the right call. In the meantime, you don't need to wait on the beef segment. Use your head. If you have a beef about anything, you don't need to wait for the beef segment. You can actually call outside of the beef period to beef. So if you want to hit on any of this, or you know what, you want to bring something to it that I haven't hit on yet, do that. That's fine too. 1-800-636-8686. I spent some time talking about Paul Pierce getting loose on Instagram Live. Fired. What do you make of that? Hope that was worth it. Truth. 1-800-636-8686. I will get into that shortly. Angel fan getting nice last night. Not throwing trash on the field, but trash cans on the field. Golfers are in Georgia. They're competing for the coveted jacket. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at the $1 million top prize. If you have not tried DraftKings, this is the time. It's easy to play. All you have to do is pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning, then you sit back and you follow all the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you will be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Download the DraftKings app right now. Be sure to use my code ROME during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million prize. Codename ROME. Trust that I did it and I used my own codename. I love it. DraftKings. Codename Rome, and you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Only at DraftKings, minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. All right, here come the phones. I like that. Before I get there, one line is still open. And let me give you some reaction. SA Sports Honk writes, first of all, I would like to congratulate Gonzaga on their win and their perfect season. Sincerely, Tennis Journo.
Hi. Nadal, congratulations on your win. And I would like to know, how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try?
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But it's a win anyway.
Not really. If any of you are thinking, hey, Rome, yeah, we get it. We've heard that. Why do you always do that? And my response to that would be, I will always do that. That will never not be classic. That will never not work on this show. I could play that every single day until they put me in the ground, and it will still work on this show. That is an all-time exchange. No, I didn't win. Yo, I know. No, you don't know. Drew in West LA is back to doing Drew in West LA things. Jimmos, do you go through an entire bag of sunflower seeds and constantly mutter, hey, bada bada, hey, bada bada, swing, when Logan Rome is pitching? Hashtag ask Rome. All right, so let me share with you very quickly my life as a baseball dad, if you're interested. No, I'm not a sunflower seed guy. Never have been. Never. Never. Not at my kids' games, not at pro games, not at home. Not my deal. Too much work for the payoff, right? If you want to go like pistachio, I'll crack those things open. You know, I'll break fingernails for those things. At least there's a payoff. I'm not a big sunflower seed guy, honestly. Hope that does not get me in trouble with Sunflower Seed Nation or Sunflower Seed Sponsor. Not my thing. And also, no, I don't talk junk or try to distract the opposition. No, a bada bada, swing. And I don't go A-Rod on pop flies. Drop it! Hey! But that said, I do make noise. I'm definitely not that guy who's in the sports business, who's got like the tiny, tiny, tiny bit of name recognition, who shows up behind the sunglasses and observes from afar. I'm involved. I love high school baseball. This is why I put it on my Instagram. So let me tell you a couple of things that I do and that I don't do. Something that I do. I'll give you a beef. I have a beef. ahead of the beef segment. But it's not going to be a beef. Like I said to you, just call me with a beef and don't wait for the beef segment. I got a beef.
Beef jerky.
I got a beef about baseball parents who come to the game and only cheer for their own kid. What about the other 15 people in the dugout? I'm cheering for your kid. I'm cheering for every kid because I'm a fan of the team, not just my kid. So I've got a beef with that. Things that I will and will not say. I will not say, hey, bada, swing. But I'll tell you what I am guilty of. I'm not proud of it. It's kind of an instinct. And part of it is, I hate to say it, if I'm being really honest, I might do it when my kid pitches, but maybe not when your kid pitches. And that's not true. I'll do it when your kid pitches too. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I instinctively will say up on a pop fly. I've been guilty of that. As if the kid in the infield doesn't see that it's a pop fly. I don't know why we do that. Up! I'll tell you the one thing that I do not do, though. Strangely, I'll do that, but not this. If one of our kids or players has a leadoff and they throw over to first, I do not scream, back! Don't do that. I don't know, man. I just do cheesy baseball things. Like, if my kid walks somebody or gives up a base hit, I'll go, hey, roll it up. Roll it up. Ground ball, yo. I'm involved. But not with sunflower seeds. And nor do I try to discredit or distract or jinx the other team. None of that. Good times. Now, oh, mama, Jano. Jano is a nervous baseball mom. And the thing about Janet is, too, she's super involved with the baseball program. Like, she's on the board. She's on the board and actually has had a say in who gets hired as head coach. Like, she's the ultimate volunteer. I got one more beef for you that I'm not going to wait till tomorrow for. And I'm looking at you. You know who you are. I'm talking about the parents that when it comes time to volunteer, and I'm not even talking about scratching a check because I know everybody can't do that, but you can find a little bit of time to help out. I'm talking about those deadbeat parents that give nothing back ever, 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 but take and take and take and take. And then when it comes time, when we need somebody to raise their hand, they will never do it. But they'll keep running their kid out there and let us do the work. And you know why they do that? Because they know we will. Because they can. Here you go, Drew. You just made it better. This is my life as a baseball dad, and it's nothing compared to Janet's wife's life as a baseball mom. She's all in. Anybody else? 1-800-636-8686. Why don't we try a telephone call? Let's go to Russell in Redding, California. It's good to have you, Russell. How are you?
Good, Mr. Rome. Thank you for taking my call. Certainly appreciate it. Long, long, long time listener. First time caller. With that said, oh, let me get that. Don't like that call. Hey, if Junior is half the softball player that you share your stories with back in the day, look out, MLB. One question, though, Rome. Is he a, you know, these kids these days with the pants, they go down all the way to the ankle, or is he shin high with the stirrups all the way up? But I know it's not beef, but I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. Construction workers that pull heavy equipment, do me a favor. Rinse that thing off. I'm tired of chipped windshields. And one more thing, Rome. I do my due diligence in wearing my mask to protect the entire nation from the vid. But one thing that frustrates me is every time I put my mask on and put my shades on, when I go to take those shades off, it combines with my mask, and it's just a fiasco. So I want to say, Rome, thanks for making my morning brighter than it was when it first started. Looking forward to a lot of takes in the near future. And by all means, take care of yourself. Stay well. Stay well, Jungle.
Atta boy, Russ. Nice job, Russell and Redding. All right, so quickly he said, hey, heavy machinery construction guy, feel free to hose off your equipment. I don't want any more cracks in my windshield. We've got one. We've got one in one of our rigs. The same rig that when I went down to, I want to say, Escondido for an appearance, I got my key or my car keyed badly. on a jungle run, a jungle appearance. I'm not sure if it happened at the appearance or at the subsequent lunch stop on the way home, but I know it happened the day that I made an appearance. Keep in mind, you got over, you won, we never repaired the scratch. But now that same windshield, when I was off for 3 days last week, I went down to the desert, as you saw, cracked windshield, have no idea how it happened. So now that car has got a cracked windshield and a scratch. He mentioned softball guy. You know what's really funny about that? The update. So my other son, who also played high school baseball, Jake, goes to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he joined he played in a softball tournament. And he hit me up last night. Pop, hit for the cycle. I think I'm now officially softball guy. I said, you are that, son. If you start using all your money on expensive bats, you're trying to take out the second baseman like it's game seven. If you're pimping your bomb, if you're hitting your old man up with, I hit for the cycle in a softball IM game, you are softball guy, Jake. And then this guy said, yeah, I got a problem with masks. Like when I pull my mask off and I'm wearing my sunglasses, they get all tangled up. It's a problem. That's not my problem. That's your problem. But I do have a problem. My problem is I fog up my sunglasses every single time. But I take them off before I take off my mask. And as I mentioned yesterday, I did get the first vaccination and I'm still rocking the mask. And I'll still be rocking the mask until we're all vaccinated and it's all safe. 1-800. I went Moderna. We didn't have a choice. I went Moderna. So that means I'm going to get a second one in a month. And I still have to follow up on the second shingle shot. And if you're scoring at home and you care about the needle and you're wondering about the spike, the shingle shot was much worse than the COVID shot in my personal experience. But you know what? You know what's worse than the shot? Getting the virus. You know what's worse than a shingle shot? Getting shingles. I will pick the shot over the thing every day of the week. All right, when we come back, Paul Pierce fired, and apparently he's pretty happy about it. Like, I guess that one door slams shut, the other door swings wide open, and somebody wheels him right through it. That story's coming up. But, you know, since it is the bottom of the hour, that means I've got a sports update, so here it is. Specifically, here is Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
For the ones who get it done, there is Grainger. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call and click Grainger.com or just stop on by. Right head? The big head blowing me up. Am I right? All right, 1-800-636-8686. Good to see some phone calls coming in. I will get more of them in momentarily. One is still open, 1-800-636-8686. All right, so an update on Paul Pierce. And I say that because yesterday I brought you the wild story. Former 19-year NBA vet, current ESPN NBA analyst, Paul Pierce, broadcasting his Friday night to the entire world. In case you missed it, and I'm not sure how you could have missed it, but in case you did, quick reset. That was a Friday night, which included poker, booze, blunts, exotic dancers, an alleged solicitation of a paid professional on Instagram Live, and the invention of a new country called Turkeys.
We from Istanbul. Turkeys. From Turkeys. We've been to Turkeys before.
Did you like it?
In other words, a standard Wednesday night for Rit. Just kidding, old man. This dude, Paul Pierce, essentially acted out Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice lyrics on Instagram Live Friday night.
Laid back with my
That was me back in the day. Just sipping up gin. No juice. Just sipping up gin. Anyway, that was yesterday's news. Today's news is that I have to amend Pablo's title to former ESPN NBA analyst because Mickey Mouse just handed the truth his walking papers. The mouse broke him off. Turns out the mouse and their parent company, Disney, were not all that down with their employee, Paul Pierce, introducing exotic dancers to the internet and demanding one of them show off her accent to all the live viewers.
Let me hear your accent. Say hi, accent.
Hi, guys.
Say hi, accent. I thought she said she hid her accent. Initially, I thought it was, I don't have an accent. Or maybe she hid her accent. Whatever. He has taken to calling her accent.
Say hi, accent.
So now it's been a few days since Paul Pierce either intentionally or unintentionally rolled tape for the entire world of what he was up to Friday night. And honestly, I still can't believe it. I mean, I really can't believe that. Not that I can't believe what he got into. I can't believe that there wasn't somebody to knock that phone right out of his hands. How could anybody be that dumb or that careless? And again, it's not what he was doing. It's how he looked while he was doing it. And the fact that he broadcasted how he looked while he was doing it. I said it yesterday. The man was on one. The term high as a kite is about to be high as Paul Pierce. Or at least it should be after my man's look Friday night. You want to talk about faded. Dude was on some kind of medical grade salad. The kind of dro that sent Thurgood, Scarface, and Brian flying out their apartment window and half baked. So ESPN handling Paul Pierce a banker's box and locking him out of the building yesterday was not that big of a surprise. In fact, the bigger surprise would have been if they let him skate, if they kept him. It's not that he was doing anything. And by the way, one thing about that group, I know how they work. I work there. I know how they do things. If you are really, really important to them and you're a star at what you do, they'll find a way to look beyond something like that. But if they pretty much have had it with you or you're not one of them or they don't really like your work that much and you give them a reason to break you off, they will. They will, and they did. Because the fact is, it's not that he was doing anything illegal. It's not that he was even necessarily doing anything wrong. Kind of depends on your personal moral compass. But I want to make very clear, I'm not judging what he did. I'm judging how stupid it was to broadcast what he did. Because this is not about the law. This is not about freedom of speech. There was no constitutional right that I can see that was violated. It's just about optics and how bad of a look that was in the eyes of his employer. One of ESPN's lead analysts cannot be the internet's new favorite meme. Not for that. You can't be memeable for that. Looking all faded with strippers twerking in the background at his feet. I mean, maybe we'll live in a world one day where that's all possible, because believe me, there are things possible now that were not possible 5 years ago. The world is changing. It hasn't changed that much yet, though. Like, again, I'll never understand how with everybody who was in that house with him at that house party, or with everybody who knows him and cares about him, how didn't anybody Mutombo that blower right out of his hand? It's not like this guy was in the back room getting all stupid all by himself and nobody had access. The man was at a poker table surrounded by lots of people. One of them had to notice Paul freaking Pierce was rolling tape on himself, inviting Monica to come on through and make some money.
Monica, you should be here. You could make some money, girl. Stop playing. Monica, what you doing? If you're in L.A., come through. If you're in L.A., Monica, come through. You know what I'm saying?
Telling somebody in the comments to come through and make some money on Instagram Live while getting a shoulder massage by a 90% new dancer is pretty incredible, especially for somebody in that capacity or incapacitation or both. But still, to me, not nearly as unbelievable. As unbelievable as that all is, still not as unbelievable as somebody not rushing up on this guy and slapping that horn right out of his hands. Now, if you thought that Paul Pierce would dropkick his phone into LA traffic and swear off social media for the rest of his life, given the last 72 hours and how they've gone for him, you would be wrong. You do not know the truth. Probably can't even handle the truth, because my man was right back at it after getting canned and posting a really bizarre video of himself getting a huge kick out of the whole thing and laughing it all off. Like, strangely, like the rest of us, he seems to think the whole thing is pretty hilarious. That's it. That's the video. And the caption to the video of him laughing. Hashtag, big things coming soon. Stay tuned. Make sure you smile. Hashtag, the truth shall set you free. Yeah, all right, P, whatever you say. The truth will set you free. The truth? What truth? Like, it sounds like some dude waiting for an opportunity to tell his side of the story. Dude, we saw your side of the story. Your side of the story was having a drink in one hand, a blower in the other hand, rolling tape on the entire thing, blunt in your mouth, a stripper behind you, and then more at your feet. That's your side of the story. The truth didn't set you free. The truth got you fired. As for the big things coming soon, what, like bigger than hosting the NBA show on ESPN? Because that's pretty big. I also love it when people tell you on the internet to, quote, stay tuned. Here's a free life lesson from somebody who has been on the internet for a long time. Nobody stays tuned to anything, especially not to people who are no longer in front of them anymore. You're either in the game or you're not. And the internet moves at the speed of light. Nobody is sitting around waiting for Paul to tell them what's next. They just move on. Because every day, the internet gets a little busier, a little more crowded, a little noisier, and a lot more congested and competitive. Nobody cares enough or has enough attention span to, quote, stay tuned to what's next for anybody at all. You have to stay in front of people as much as you can, as long as you can. And sitting on the NBA show on ESPN was a pretty good way to stay in front of people. And now that's been ripped from you. Sitting outside on a bench laughing into the camera and telling people to stay tuned, yeah, that's probably not happening. Not for you, not for anybody. But what I'm saying, my guy, is you had your chair. Now your other chair, the one with wheels, is rolling you out of the game. Again. Like, I hope you do come back. Just know that we're not staying tuned. No one is. Nature of the beast these days. And here's something else to think about while you wait on those, quote, big things which are coming. Man, you could have had your cake. And you could have slammed it too. You could have partied your ass off on Friday. And still had your job on Monday. All you had to do was not broadcast the party on Friday. Oh, well. There's always next time. Maybe. Let's go to Anaheim. Mickey in Anaheim. Hey, Mickey, what's up?
Hawaiian Tropic Room. How the heck are you, buddy?
Oh, wow. It's Mickey Mouse. Incredible. The mouse is up in here. What's up, Mick?
Oh, man, I got one heck of a beef today, you know? What is it with these freaking celebrities you hire? You know, they don't have the damn sense to switch their phone off with their hanging with hookers, rolling a blunt, allegedly. And look, for the record, we knew he was trouble, okay? I put Pluto on him to follow him everywhere. But damn it. Pluto's got the crime problem too, Rome.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like. Why did you run Mickey, like Alvin?
not a very good call.
Mickey Mouse just called to say, I got a beef with celebrities who do that, but I knew that he was a problem, and I put Pluto on him to follow him around, but Pluto also has a problem with the Kron. Maybe you should have put the duck on him, Mick. Again, I'm curious, like, what do you think happened? Do you think, I mean, he clearly knew what he was doing. He was looking into the phone. So it's not like, because he went selfie style with it. It wasn't like the phone, he butt Instagrammed. You know, like, it wasn't a mistake because he was holding it up in selfie form or format. He knew he was broadcasting to the phone. Therefore, either he wanted that out there or he wanted that on that feature where it says to close friends only and made a mistake. But again, it's when you're that guy, somebody had to know. Somebody, unless everybody in this guy's universe and orbit was as faded as he was, and then nobody had the wherewithal to slap that phone out of his hands. But somebody had to. Somebody had to. Somebody he works with at the Mouse, an agent, a manager, a lawyer, a family member. Somebody had to have said, whoa, 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 dude, you're live. You're live. But nobody did. Or maybe somebody did, and he just didn't give a damn. But it cost him his gig. D-Rod in the 925 tweets, big things coming soon. Maybe he got Monica to come out this Friday night. Maybe. Jimmy, I don't think that Paul Pierce getting fired is a bad thing. Sometimes moving on from one job to the next is the best move for your career. Signed, Bob D in Alhambra. Jamie in Green Bay, give Pluto the golden ticket. We need another dog in the smack off. All right, third hour's coming up. Phone lines are open. You never know who might call, right? Just check that. Stay tuned.